Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these things, all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Now Romans chapter 3, please. Book of Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin, as it is written, There is none righteous, no, none one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace are they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, been witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. One more, please, in Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The last few nights we were trying to look a little bit about what we have here in Revelation 20 that we've just read about the great white throne. We were looking at it one night, it's great because of its color, which shows the perfect righteousness that is displayed in that place. We were looking at the judge of that throne, that spotless white throne, because then again we have the righteousness of God. He's a righteous judge. Nothing will go uncovered, or nothing will go covered. Everything will be uncovered in his presence. And then we were looking at the books another night. The books will be opened. The book of life will be open. And the book of men's sins will be open. It's all written down. There's many like the woman in Proverbs when she wipes her mouth and said, how did God know? And again they'll say, can he see through the thick clouds? And people think because of darkness that they can get away with sin in the sight of God. But I want to tell you again tonight, as I've said before, God can see a black ant on a black night, and a pitch black night. So what I'm trying to get across here tonight is again something about this throne, this white throne. Here it is. Look at it again tonight. Here it is. That's in the future. At least 1,000 years from now. But God has already in his book, and I want to see again tonight, look, that book there is the only reliable source of information on spiritual things. And if there's any quarrel with it, no sense quarrel with me. That's all I have. That's all Albert has. And that's all any Christian has. And the person that will not take that word will never know what it is to be in God's heaven. It's God's eternal word that he has given. It's God breathed. You know, you could read any verse, any book in the world. I don't care what book it is. You read it 3 or 4 times, and you might even read it another time. But when you finish reading it, you've got everything that's in it. But you can't with that. That's the food from heaven for the Christian, and he can read it day after day, and he can read one chapter a day for weeks on end, and still get something out of it. You could read a verse of the scripture and be able to go for many days on the good of it. Why? Because it's the living word of a living God. And a person that will not accept this book can never be now. What he's doing, the person that says it's not true, is calling God a liar. Can you imagine what that must sound like in the ears of a living God? He doesn't even have to hear it. He sees it in the mind. Because God can read the very thoughts of the heart. I want to think first of all here in Genesis, in Exodus, where we read Exodus chapter 20. We have the Ten Commandments. I like this chart up here. But I'm going to get another one. I've been saying this for years. And I'm going to get somebody to make another chart. And the chart I want made is Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. So we'd hang that up, even if we never said anything about it, just for people to look at and see, that's God's commandments. That's God's law.
And if a person leaves doubt, if they're honest before God,
you'll have to say, but wait a minute, says somebody. The rich young ruler said, I've kept it all. But the Savior said, go on, send all that thou hast, and give to the poor. And he says, who is my neighbor?
Now let's look at it for a minute. It seems to me, when the people came to God, he had tried them under innocence, they say. He tried them under conscience, they failed. He tried them under human government, they failed. They come to him and they said, look, all that you tell us to do, we'll do it.
All right, he says, here's the Ten Commandments. Take a look up there above your head just right now.
Take a look.
There's lights hanging there. You see the chain of hope.
Let me ask you. If you took a snips and snipped, how many links?
There's about 25 there.
How many links would you have to snip off before that light would fall?
You know as well as I do, one will do it.
Therefore, James says, if a person was to keep the whole law, yet offend in one point,
he's guilty of all.
One man put it this way. He says, I have in my house, he says, I have an old-fashioned window, and he says, there's a whole lot of panes in it. About 12 different panes in that one window. And he says, a little boy fires a stone through it, and he breaks one pane of glass.
The window's broken.
What I'm saying simply is this. People will argue with God and say, I've never committed some of the atrocities that's there. I've never stolen anything.
Thank God. That's good.
Someone else says, I've never committed adultery.
Thank God. Let me ask you something. Was it ever in your mind? Did it ever cross your thoughts? Now be honest. Because God is looking on. And there's not too many in the meeting that like to say, I'm not guilty.
Why? Because his face answers the face in water, so the heart of man to man. And he says that the Lord Jesus is the man that lusteth after a woman. He's committed adultery in his heart.
Thank God he never carries that. Nevertheless, God charges them.
See, we don't, and most people don't really realize what God looks upon as sin. And therefore they say, I'm not so bad after all.
He says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now hold on here just a minute. Lest we harden some of them. What's that?
What's he say? The person that even bears one false witness against his neighbor is guilty. He's broken the law. He may not have stolen anything, but he's broken the law. He may not have committed it, but he has broken the law. Don't you see? My friend, if we could only give this across to mankind, they would want to know their sins forgiven. But the trouble is, most people say, oh, that's all. I can't believe what God says there.
Wait a minute. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, how many can stand up and say, I'm not guilty of that one? I could.
I love this man. I really do.
But I don't love him as much as I love me. I'm just being honest with you. And he doesn't love me as much as he loves himself.
Now, why do I say that? Because that's human. And it's only human. And if we're all honest before God, we'll have to say, no, that's true. I don't love my neighbor like myself. a very good living man, and he was a doctor, I believe. And a Christian was trying to get this across to him that we're all sinners. He couldn't believe it. He wouldn't take it in. He wouldn't accept that. He says, I do a lot of good things. I help mankind. I'm good to my wife. I'm good to my children. And he was. He wouldn't accept the fact that we were sinners. One night he's coming home from work. Smoke is rising in the horizon, and he just makes one turn after another. It looked like it was in his direction. And when he turned the last turn to go down the street where he was, he says, thank God. Why do you say thank God? Because it's me. And I likely would have said the same thing. And so would you. Let's be honest before God. But no sooner had that come out of his mouth than it struck him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. So the man cried, I am a sinner. God shows us over and over again that we've sinned against him. Now when you come to Romans chapter 5 where we read, now God is bringing in this, and he says, what are we better than they? What's he say? Paul the Apostle, he's putting the Jew and the Gentile together. And he's saying, are we better than the Gentiles? No, he said. God has before proved that we're all under sin. We've all come in under the same platform. We've all come under the same standard. And he comes down a little further, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, they sent over to Ireland one time to find out if they could find some men that would be good for the king's guards. Of course, all the Irishmen, they would like that. So the young men got together in different places where the recruiting officer was going to be, and they were getting together. One thing that they had to be is exactly 6 feet. So that when the guards stand together, all one size. So the boys got together in many a place, and they stood back to back. You know how people do? Stand back to back. Some, of course, trying to get as high as they can. And one fellow says, I got a better chance than any of you. I'm the tallest. The recruiting officer come around. He didn't put them back to back. But he puts his dad in. That boy used to stand under the standard. And the tallest boy was half an inch too short. That's what God said. God has brought us in under the standard. Don't you see? He gives us 14 different things that mankind is guilty. I'll read them again. There is none righteous, no, not one. Is that true, or isn't it? There is none that understandeth. You hear people say all the time, I can't understand that. There is none that seeketh after God. Sometimes people say to us, I know, and one man told me, lying on his bed, dying just a few weeks ago, he says, I know how to do it. It's just a matter of getting to it, and he's near death door. I felt ashamed, but I didn't, because I don't know why, but I felt ashamed. You don't know how to do it. There's none that understand it. Is there somebody in this meeting, and you've tried to get saved in days gone by? You've looked into the Word, you've looked at John 5:24, you've looked at John 3:16, you've looked at Isaiah 53, you've gone over the whole thing. You don't understand it. Let's be saved. Then he goes on down to say, after all these, there's one there,
The little girl was sitting back, well, she was about 16 or 17 one night afternoon. We had a meeting up in the west end of Prince Edward Island. After the meeting was over, she was sitting there. We went back and said, "What's the matter, Vivian?" She says, "I would like to be saved." So we wanted to find out if she really, you know, she really understood that she really needed salvation. You know, there's a lot of people, and they say, "Oh yeah, let's be saved." So we give her Romans 3, and she, "You read down that list there and see if any of those 14 charges that you're not guilty of, that God is charging humankind with, see if there's any of them that you're not guilty of." So she started reading, and you could see by the way she was, her eyes were going back and forth. And then she stopped. "Oh, oh, you found one you're not guilty of." "Well, yes," she said, "it says here, there's nothing to see that after God." And she says, "Isn't that what I'm doing?" "No, no, no. That's God seeking you. The very fact that there's a thought in your soul whatsoever, that's God speaking to you. That's your time of opportunity. Whatever you do, don't miss it. The Savior said in that case, strive to enter in at the straight gate." So what he's doing here, he's bringing the whole world in under the same standard. And the best man that ever lived, and he's gone by, I think, long ago, he's not living in the world today. Don't think for one moment that there's anybody here in this meeting that can come up to the standard of Nicodemus. Rabbi of the Rabbi. Teacher of God's law. There's nobody, I don't suppose, that could come up to the standard of Abraham. Or David, the man after God's own heart. Not a person. And I don't think there's anybody here would even try to imagine that they would come to that. Do you think so? No. But God was Abraham on the standard. He was Job under the standard. He was Joseph under the standard. And there's not a thing recorded against Joseph in the whole scripture. But he was Joseph on the standard. And he says, "Oh, I come short of the glory of God." Then you ask yourself, do you believe that? I say, do you believe it? And I can almost hear somebody's thoughts running through their mind. "No, I don't believe that." Will you ever be saved then? God brings the whole world in, and that's what I wanted to speak about for a few minutes tonight, about this work of gold here. He's the verdict. The verdict. What's the verdict? It's quite slow, stop it. The judge is saying, "Brother, is over here tonight. He's the door." And he said, "Come on to me." The judge is over here now. He's got a savior in the door. He's the judge. The books will be opened. Man's sin will be opened up to him like a great record. They tell me that when some of those men were brought to justice from Germany in the last war, they denied everything. They were sitting along there, Goebbels and Goring and some of them, and they said, "No." And it was slow and sweet, they were going to hold on to it. "No." Until they brought in that little black box, two big wheels on. And they started running the reels through. And they heard their old voices. They were white. "And what will it be? Oh, what will it be?" When he begins to unravel the books. "And
I want to say, and I say it kindly, every sin has to die. Everyone. Because it'll be judged according to the works. I heard a man say one time, if you're not going to get saved, well then lay the reins on the neck of the horse and drive to the devil. It's the only heaven you'll ever have. Ah, my friend, I would say the opposite. If you're not going to get saved, go carefully. Every curse word, every idle word, every thought that crosses the mind that's dishonest, it's immoral. It's all written down. The book shall be laid wide open, and a nail pierce the hand of the sailor what certain reasons. And as one man said, the only thing that will go through the silence of eternity will be the leaping of righteous. And as people hear and reminded of the things that happen on earth, and the biggest thing of all, the time when they went to meet things and they heard the gospel and the Spirit of God was dealing with them and tugging at their soul, wanting them to come to Christ the door. After that moment when a decision was made and it's written down. I won't take it.
What's the verdict?
Man, I well remember back when I was here in the 47 to 51 time, another my young man and I went down to the big courthouse here in Vancouver. The evidence was gone into for a whole week. The clothes with blood stains on them were on the table there. There was a little square spot back about back where the last seat is here in this room. We were sitting back. In that box was a well-dressed 34-year-old young man. His mother right behind the rails. I'll never forget. Oh, the deadly silence. When that little man came in behind the desk after the jury came back. That replaced everything in order. One man stood up and he said, guilty, my Lord. I can still see waters that burst through them. He got his head. The judge said to him, have you anything to say, Walter? Again, the little man behind the desk, he began to put papers in place. Walter standing, priest on either side. And as soon as that man began to open and say what the verdict was and what the judgment was, Walter was standing, a well-dressed man and stockily built. Standing holding on to the rail in front of him, it was actually Jesus. Well, that man is dead. He'll be taken out just under the thistles and hanged by the neck at 6 in the morning. May God have mercy on your soul. Hanged by the neck. The policeman touched him. The old woman with a shawl around her head. She said, Walter, keep your chin up. It's hard to keep your chin up or he's like that. But my friend, let me ask you tonight, did all come to your soul? What will you do here? When the judge of all the earth that opened the way to heaven and is the door to it. As he stands up
hand as he opens the ghost. And finally he picks up the book of life to see if the name is there. Cain is there. Absalom is there. Men that were privileged above many. Cain born into a home what was the first people that was saved by the grace of God. Absalom, he had a brother that was the wisest man in all the earth. He had a father that was sweet psalmist to Israel. Absalom's going to be there. Friend, don't presume on the grace of God because your father's saved and your mother's praying for you. Don't presume upon that. As he opens the book and begins to look, and it comes to the last page, and the name is not written there. Can I say it kindly? Into the lake of fire. You know, I'm going to tell you something before I sit down. Give me a minute. If it was the way some people talk about it, that a person is thrown into a lake of fire and burned up, I go home. What do you mean? It's wonderful to see people saved and be in heaven. But if they're not willing, if they don't want to go to heaven, I say again, I go home. Because if a person, if they were cast into the lake of fire, and that were burned up, and that was the end of them, they wouldn't feel a thing. Somebody, what do you mean? I was 47% burnt. I never felt a thing for at least an hour. Shock. Well, be friend in this evening, I give your soul a chance. The devil's out with you. He's been doing a good job of it. And he's trying to get you away from that door. May God help each one in this meeting to stop and consider there's a verdict coming. The judgment is you're on fire. Our God, our Father in heaven, in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly bow in thy presence a moment at the close of the meeting. O God, we know that someday time will be like this meeting. It will come to a finish. Then eternity. Lord, we pray that those in our meeting tonight, we're glad they're here. And O God, we'd ask of thee that thou will help them just to accept what thou hast said. And trust the Savior sinners. And be saved by the sovereign grace of God, for we ask it in his own worthy and his precious name. In number 152, time is gone, so we'll just sing the first and last verses of hymn number 152, when the harvest is past, and the summer is gone, and sermons of prayer shall be o'er, when the beams cease to break on the blessed Lord's day morning, and Jesus invites thee no more. 152, and the meeting is over.